I will try and say very minimal about me because I'm not that interesting, if I'm really honest. But it just helps with context, doesn't it, to just share a little bit about yourself. So I am from the UK, and I got saved when I was 17 at Billy Graham in 1980. I'm just a few years old now. And, I've been a Christian about 40 years, I think it is. And 35 years ago, I met my lovely husband, Gary, and we had three children who are adults now, two gorgeous granddaughters who are beautiful, and they're all here. We moved here to Perth in 2006, and thank you for having us. It's an amazing place. I miss Britain, but I love it here. It rains less. I don't mind the rain here, because it knows when to stop. But I've kind of been around long enough and had enough time to be able to look back with gratefulness to God for all the love and laughter and pain and suffering that life does. Is my microphone gone? Okay, like this. Don't hold it at the bottom. Okay, so you can tell I'm new at this. Just keep me right. Is that right? Okay. So, yeah, and life's not easy, is it? It really isn't easy. And if we've been a Christian or even just alive for long enough, we'll realize that life isn't easy. It does come with its challenges, but doesn't it come? It's like Ronan Keating and sings life is a roller coaster, and it really is like a roller coaster, isn't it? Now, I know people hate them. I love roller coasters. Give me a roller coaster any day, but it is, life has got its ups and downs, hasn't it? But God is faithful, isn't he? He is faithful. And when we keep a hold of him, he keeps a hold of us. And what I think is so amazing about the Father, even when we let go of him, he is right behind us. So if we take a little walk away from him, whenever we take a moment to just turn back, he is right there. We don't have to go looking for him, hey? He's right there. Why? Because he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. So that when we sort of have a moment and we want to go and hide, he knows exactly where we are. And he is marvelous, isn't he? Just fast forwarding a little bit, a couple of years ago, I felt the Lord lead me to sign up to be a Orbis ministry student with Ken Fish. And so I've been on this fast track of learning and intense training. Yes, very intense. And I've got some stories, but we probably won't have time to share them. And but the thing I love about Ken, if you haven't met him, please get to one of his conferences. You guys are hosting him amazing for the Biblical Manhood Conference. So if you're a man, please get here, because he will probably, I don't know what he's sharing, but I do know enough about him that he will lead you into a call for higher holy living. You know, we do well, don't we, to try our best to higher calls and holiness. But he will challenge you and it will be good. But there'll also be breakthroughs and there will be wholeness available. There'll be healing. It isn't just teaching you so that you can go away and go, all right, I've got to do this now and I've got to do that now. Though it will be an invitation to go deeper into God so that you will be able to, if there's things that are in your life that are holding you back, whether it's in here or whether it's in here, that the Holy Spirit will, the anointing tends to be there where breakthrough can come. So if you do feel stuck in any way, if you feel you struggle internally, externally, in whatever way, shape or form, then it is a massive invitation to come to meet the King, because not that Ken Fish would be, he'd be the first to be humble enough to say that it's not about him, but there does tend to be an anointing that comes. And so come, and also go to Without Walls, which will be on that weekend. He is going to be there too, so it's a whole week of it, so I really encourage you. And I know Without Walls and your own website has it, and Without Walls has their website too, that which will show you the dates and the times to be there. So yes, go and be blessed. When I was asking Jesus what he wanted me to share with you guys, I was just sitting with him, not saying very much, which is actually quite miraculous. And I did manage to be quiet and just sitting with him, and I was just praying for you guys, and I had the name First Light and thinking of Rena, and I just said, "So, Lord, what do you want to say?" And I could hear him commending you. His heart is so big for you. I know that he loves us all, and I know that he has to, really, doesn't he? He's Jesus. But I just felt this heart swell when he thinks of you guys. He just commends you. I could hear him saying they are so precious, and he said they are very hard working. And I don't know any of you, really. I've met a couple today, and you all seem so lovely. But this is what I heard him say. They are so hardworking. They are people who are conscientious and very caring. Now, I don't know how that is true, but you guys know you. And he said, he sees your hard work, and he loves that you love him in the way that you do. And he loves watching your effort towards each other and towards him. He also showed me that often when people are hardworking, conscientious and caring, that they also can go, they are really, really susceptible to super times of great weariness and tiredness. They can sometimes feel pressure and worry and stressed. And he just wants to say to you, even with that, that he has great compassion. He has great compassion. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So right here, right now, he is with us. He is with you. He is with you. He is beside you. He is behind you. And he has great compassion for you. He is here. He is Emmanuel. And then he took me to Mary and Martha. So if you've got your Bibles or your Bibles app, if we can turn to Luke 10, 38 to 42. I'm just going to open my... Now I'm going to read it from the Amplified version. That is not the right app. 2 seconds. Where did I put it? Oh, here we are. Yeah, the Amplified version. Does anybody else read the Amplified version ever? Has anybody heard of the Amplified? I love it because it just exaggerates. Not that I'm into exaggerating, but I just love it. It biblically exaggerates and extends the meanings. It's lovely. And so let me just read this to you. So Luke 10, verse 38. Now, while they were on their way, Jesus entered a village called Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all of her serving responsibilities. And she approached him and she says, "Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me and do her part." But the Lord replied to her and said, "Martha, hey, Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen that good part which is to her advantage, and it will not be taken from her. And there was just a couple of things I wanted to pull out, and then I'll just bring it together. Martha, as you know, is there in the kitchen preparing food. But when he says to Martha, "Martha, you're very busy and distracted with all of your serving responsibilities," and then further down, he goes, "You are worried and bothered and anxious about many things. It crossed my mind and I did wonder whether it was more than just cooking that she was worrying about. Because if it was just cooking, I mean, she's a woman for a start, so she'll know how to cook. So I think if it was cooking on its own, I don't think she'd be too worried, you know. But I just think the fact that she was worried and bothered and anxious about many things, as Jesus said, it makes me wonder, was it just the food? I suspect not. And I used to feel sorry for Martha, and I used to say this to Jesus, but then he showed me something different in the lead up to this. I used to feel sorry for her because I'd be like, I'm a doer. And I'm like, if I was in the kitchen and she's sitting on the floor looking at him and I'm doing all the cooking, I'd be saying exactly the same. Like, I totally get it. I really empathize with her, you know. So when he showed me the scripture for you guys, I'm going, well, you know how I feel. You know how I feel. He goes, yeah, but I want to show you something else. I said, okay. So, and so he showed me how she's in this kitchen and she's angry and she's frustrated while Mary is sitting at the feet. And the thing that's interesting about this is what came out, is what she said to Jesus first. She says, "Do you not care, Jesus? Do you not care?" And I know for me personally, in my own life, when I have got worried or stressed or overwhelmed by life circumstances or people or both, one of the first things that comes into my mind is, do you actually care about what's going on in my life? Or even worse, I think about that with other people. Do they not care? Like, I'm going through this, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing the other. You know, is it possible that in our busyness and our activity, that sometimes if the pressure gets too much, that if we don't bring it to Jesus and bring it to his feet, that there's something that can just come up quietly but surely that says, do you not care, God? Or do they not care? It's possible, isn't it? It's a real possibility when we're busy doing things for him and for other people. The other thing that I noticed about Martha is that she says, tell her to help me. And I know for me in my life, again, when I'm in a position where I am overwhelmed, I'm busy doing the doings, and I'm not coming to the Lord for, you know, encouragement and for strength and for a sort of a perspective that keeps me calm and keeps me grounded, I find that I also can take control. Tell her. So I'd be talking to Jesus and I'd be going, you know, look, I see it more. I don't know if you guys are the same, but I see this happen more around family rather than church. Because family, they just love it. Because you get to be the perfect you and the imperfect you. Family are the one set of people that know all your good bits and your not so good bits. And you get to be human around your family and they get to be human. So we see all the good bits about ourselves and we get to see the not so good bits. So it's around family. And it's like when your family is just not doing as much as what you think they should be. Because it's in your mind what they all should be doing. And then it's like one minute you're thinking, do they not even care? I mean, do they not even care? Oh, God, are you here? Like, do you exist? You know, and then on top of that, you're like, you're talking to Jesus and you're like, can you just tell them to sort themselves out? Or can you just get them to be this way or that way? Does anybody resonate with that? Yeah? Good. Thank the Lord, it's not just me. I really resonated with this. But the thing that I love about Jesus is that at the moment when she's obviously doing that, she's annoyed with Martha. No, she's not annoyed with Martha. She's annoyed with Mary. And she's telling Jesus what to do. She's annoyed with Jesus. She's telling Jesus what to do. She's basically telling Jesus to sort yourself out and sort Mary out. And I love his response, because his response is, it isn't just Martha once. Like, you'd be forgiven to think, if you just said a name once, then you could assume then that he is going, Martha, right? But he doesn't. He goes, Martha, Martha. And it's just that. You can hear his compassion. You know, it's like, Martha, you can just imagine him going, come here, come here, you know? And he says, you are worried. And what's the three things that I read out? You are worried and anxious and bothered about many things. And then what does he say? One thing is needed. And if you don't hear anything else tonight, hear that. One thing is needed. You know, we as precious humans can have the habit of struggling with worry and angst over something. And what we can sometimes do in life is, like Martha, we'd rather be busy in the kitchen because there's something going on in us and we want to be distracted with busyness, because it's easier to be busy with life than deal with the thing that is bothering us inside, the things that worry and bother us. So some of us can be, I've done both of these, and I, you know, we're human, aren't we? So we get to be human. And so there are times, does anybody else do this, where there is something gnawing at you, there's something bothering you, and what do? We either stuff it down or we shove it to the back and we get busy. And we don't just get busy, but we get busy doing really good things. And so for a little while there, we can get away with it because, you know, because we're busy doing good things. But because Jesus loves us, he'll only let us go so far with that, won't he? Because he loves us. So he'd be like, if he gets a chance to speak and show you, he'll go, come on, what's going on? What's going on in here? What's going on in here? What's going on in here? Come on. The other thing that we can do is that we can... just that thing on being distracted. Often the things that causes us to be distracted with busyness, the main two reasons why we allow that to happen is shame and fear. They're the two things. You know, if there's something that is happening that is bringing shame, or if there's something that's happening that's bringing fear, you can guarantee that they're the two things that the enemy will use to keep you busy. To keep it at the back of your head or keep it stuffed down with the lid on. When what Jesus wants us to do is, one thing is needed. Come to me. Come and kneel before me and bring that one thing. Bring it. Bring the thing that's in here. Bring the thing that's stuffed at the back of your head that you're trying to ignore. Other times, it's the busyness of life itself, like Martha was doing, that can take over everything and cause a build-up of stress and weariness, that can speak more about prioritizing the pressures of life itself over the Lord. And it's so easy to do, particularly in this Western culture, isn't it? It's like our Western culture teaches us that doing is better than being. Isn't it? Doing is better than being. We're not that great at being. We are really good at doing. And that's the only sort of flip coin of hardworking people. I have to confess to you, I am classed as a hardworking person. There's some, you know, like I'm not OCD, I'm not that bad. My house does not look that clean, but it's clean enough, you know, it's kind of like the balance. But society will teach us that you've got to be busy doing something to kind of be accepted, or to be, you know, to justify us and to get our value. It's almost like we get our value out of what we do rather than who we are. True? And what we do is so important. Like, there'll be jobs here that you know you're important. There'll be, I don't know if there's doctors in the house, there's lawyers in the house, I don't know who's in here. I'm a hairdresser, so look, in the eyes of the world, we're not rated that high, but you try and tell that to one woman that hair's looking in a right state. Right. She'll think you're the best thing since sliced bread. But the world does rate jobs, don't they? And they rate our performance. And the world is a performance-based society. Our values are being forced to come up to the surface based on what we do, who we are, how we articulate ourselves. And it's such a shame, because that's just the way of the world, isn't it? It's not the way of the Lord. But I just thank Jesus that he is not like that. I just want to tell you another little story. It wasn't that long ago, a couple of years ago. I sat with the Lord. I just said, right, I've got this. You know when you come to him with all your stuff. I've got this. I'm worried about that. That's getting on my nerves. There's all this stuff, right? But I've decided for once, Lord, I'm not bringing it to you. I'm going to lay it at your feet, and I'm going to do what we're kind of supposed to do and just look to you. So I'm bringing it to you because I don't want to stuff it at the back or shove it down. So I'm going to bring it forward, but I'm laying it at your feet, and I'm just going to give you 5 minutes. I know it's sad, but it's very true. And I said, you know, I'm just laying it down, right? You don't have to talk about this stuff. I want you to talk about this stuff because this stuff is the most important thing in my life. But you have to come first. You have to be greater than the stuff. And so I laid it down and I says, okay, what do you want to say? I'm listening. And he goes, you know what he said to me? He says, love one another. I says, oh, I can do that. I said, right, okay, you're teaching me, I've got to love, right, okay, so yeah, they're really getting on my nerves and they're annoying me. Okay, so I've got to love that one, yeah, okay, fair enough. No, it's not what I'm saying. Really? Well, what are you saying? And he goes, I love one another. I'm like, I know you've just said that, I get it, right? I've got to show more love and mercy and compassion. He goes, no, I'm not saying that. I'm going, okay, right. Well, you're just going to have to make it more obvious because I have no idea what you're talking about. And then he says, are you not another? And I'm like, okay, I think I know where you're coming from now. He goes, to everybody else on the entire planet other than you, you are another. To everybody else, you are another. I want you to love you like you love another. He says, because I know that these people get on your nerves and I know you need greater capacity for love in your sphere. But I actually want to say to you, Lynn, that you do love really well. You love people. You're really good at loving people. You're very kind to people. You're generous. You try to be funny. You try and cheer people up. You know, you try to make people feel better for being in their world. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll give myself 5 for trying. And he said, yes, but what do you do with you? And I'm like, And then I just started to feel really uncomfortable because I realized that, and this has happened to hardworking people, we can be so hard on ourselves. We can forget to be kind to ourselves. And I listened to myself imagining talking to another the way that I do talk to me, or did used to, because this has changed. And I was mortified. In fact, I started crying because I imagined a certain person in my world that I knew, and I imagined talking to them the way that I talked to myself, and I was quite mortified and humbled and repented really quick, because what Jesus was showing me was, I am another. How dare I talk to me in the way that I would never talk to any of you guys? But I would put myself under unnecessary pressure. Why? Because I'm wired to be hardworking. And so if this resonates with you, I could imagine, I am sensing that there's a lot of hardworking people here, conscientious and caring. But what we have a tendency and habit, not everybody, but what we can have a tendency to do is to be a bit unkind to ourselves, a little bit too hard on ourselves. Yeah, so I had to stop telling God all of the reasons that he should be mad or frustrated with me, and accept and receive and rest in his love for me. Because the thing is, I knew about his love. You know, I'd read about it in the Bible. We've all done that, haven't we? We read about his love. We hear about his love. We talk about his love. We share with one another the love of God. We love on people, don't we? Because that's the nature of who we are. Because we are what? Hardworking, conscientious, and caring. So we pour ourselves out with love to others. But I had to stop being mad and frustrated with myself. And it's this. It's accepting the fact that warts and all, you are loved. Accepting the warts and all. You see, we don't... I know me. I live with me every day. And honestly, it's not that great, okay? It's really not that great. It's okay. It's all right. Jesus would probably disagree with me on that. But, you know, it really isn't mind-blowing. However, I have to stop. I have to disagree with that now, because God's commanded me to love me and to speak to me as I would another. Does that make sense? Is this resonating with anyone? Yeah? Yeah. Anyway, when I started doing this, when I started to practice, it did start to transform me from inside out, because often hardworking, conscientious people who love to serve are also hard on themselves, very high expectations, and sometimes very little peace. Has anybody ever been in this position where you're beating yourself up because you think you should do better, because you think you should be better, or, you know, pray better, read the word more? There's always something, isn't there? And there's always some voice somewhere that says, you know, if the enemy can't get you to sin, he'll get you to feel guilty about your living in Christ. True? If he can't get you to sin, he'll start to accuse you that you're not doing enough. It's true, isn't it? And if I'm agreeing with him by saying the same thing, I'm really not helping myself, eh? So I just decided to stop. I repented, I stopped, and I just decided to say, you know what? That's it now. I'm going to agree with the word of God for my life, for my mind, for my heart. And regardless of the fact that I'm not perfect, and I could tell you in X, Y, and Z point form how I'm not perfect, God loves me. God loves you. And guess what? You are enough. If you don't do another thing, if you don't say another thing for him, guess what? He loves you more than you could ever hope or imagine, because that's what his word says. Jesus wants us to do for him out of being with him. Don't get me wrong. Jesus, he showed me that he loves your doing. But being with him is better than, and being and doing with him is better. Jesus wants to do out of being with him, not because of him. And that is very subtle difference, but it's a very powerful one. Do we do because of him, or do we do with him? Subtle difference, isn't it? But it's very powerful. Because if we're doing things for him or for others, we become very tired, very weary. But if we're doing things with him, just like Mary, with him. And I'm just sensing, just even standing here talking, I am just sensing the Holy Spirit is walking all over this place. I've felt it since I stood up. Just this sense in which Holy Spirit, he just weaves in and out. Because he is God Emmanuel, God with us. So we're really good at recognizing that he lives within us, don't we? We recognize that he lives within us, in our spirits. We can even see how he influences our minds and how he fills our hearts. But we forget that God is Emmanuel, God with us. He says in the scriptures in John that he says, I am with you and in you. He is both. He is with you and in you. And so I just sense that if you have a tendency to have a Martha moment, if you have a tendency to be busy and hardworking and then sometimes find yourself weary, let's just take a second to have a Mary moment. And just while you're sitting there, just in your rest, just notice, Holy Spirit. Just notice him. Is he behind you? Is he sitting beside you? He's here. He loves you. He is full of compassion for you. He understands everything. He knows you. He knows the number of hairs on your head, and he loves every single one of them. He does care. He does care. And just while we're sitting, just allow, if there's anything that has been stuffed down, or if there's anything that has been pushed back, if you're one of those people that at this season in your life, you have been distracted, you've been distracting yourself with life and with busyness, even the godly busyness, because there's a part of you that's kind of stuffing something down or shoving it to the back of your head, and you're just busy doing life in the hope that either God will not notice or you won't have to deal with it. But guess what? God loves you, and he sees it all and loves you. So just while you're sitting there, if that's you, just allow the stuff that you've distracted and pushed to the back or pushed it down, just bring it forward. Bring it to the forefront of your mind. And notice Jesus, because he's right there with you. Just like Mary, sit, give it to him, because he cares for you. Just give it to him. He's here. There is nothing or no one that can separate you from the love of Christ. There is no hurt. There is no pain. There is no anger. There is no shame. There is no unforgiveness. There is no loneliness. There is no debt or desperation. There is no brokenness that can separate you from the love of God. He's here. Give it to him. Because one thing is needed, just like Mary. In him, he is our healer. He is our provider. He is our deliverer. There is nothing that you can hold inside you that he cannot deal with or heal. We just got to sit with him and give it to him. And then there's those who have got themselves busy with life, and they're so busy being conscientious and hardworking, and God loves it. God loves it. God loves to see your creativity. He loves to see your conscientiousness. He loves to see how you work so hard. He watches you. He's with you. He loves it. He loves how you love on people. But for some, He misses you. He misses you. He just wants to have some time of yours to himself, because one thing is needed. He is all we need. So if that's you, just notice him with you now. For some, he's got his arm around your shoulder. He's hugging you in. For others, he's holding your heart and he's healing, he's releasing. He's bringing it to the surface that he might take it to himself. You don't need to hide anything from him, because he loves you so purely and completely. Father, I just ask you that as these precious, precious people of yours goes home and spends more time with you, they may change their priorities, or they may not be so afraid to give what they stuff down or behind. Lord, as they go home, that they will notice that your presence is tangibly with them, not just within them, but around them. That you are so interested in them, intricately interested. You love them. And Lord, I also ask you that you would show them your cheerfulness, your amazing ability to cheer people up, your sense of humor that often gets missed. Because Father, I know that in the midst of busyness and in the midst of loneliness, or in the midst of all these different things that we suffer from, sometimes the best medicine is when somebody comes along and makes us laugh. But we forget that you do that too. You are hilarious. You are hilarious. You had me laughing in worship, because when we were worshiping and the beautiful people on the stage worshiping you, you are standing in the crowd waving your arms like you're at a football match. You are amazing. You are so funny. And you know what? You brought that too, because your humor heals. But sometimes we are so busy in life, doing good, trying our best to be good. It gets so serious. It can get so heavy. But you said that you did not come to bring a heavy burden, but that your burden is light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.